accompanied by an accordion. The pastor brought a message, and then each candidate shared their testimony, how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When it came my turn, age 13, my heart was racing, my palms were sweaty, my mouth was dry. As a young teen, it was one of the toughest things I ever had to do. As you see, I was a very shy and backward individual. And standing and speaking in front of a crowd, that wasn't my thing. But needless to say, what I shared that day was rather brief and And then as I walked into Bushland's Lake to be baptized by my pastor, it was certainly a very, very special moment in my life. I sensed the presence of God that day in a very special way. Why did I bother to make the effort to do that when I hated to speak in public? Why have people down through the centuries done the very same thing? After all, is baptism really, really that important? In other words, why be baptized? Where did it have its early beginnings? Was it an event that came about after the New Testament era? Does it have some credence in biblical history? Let's find out. My first example is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and verses 1 and 2. I want you to hear what it says. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching from the desert of Judah and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 continues on that what took place that day. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by John in the Jordan River. You say, okay, John practiced believer's baptism. Was it practiced after that in the early church? You need to turn to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 33. This was years after Jesus had lived here on this earth and had gone back to heaven. Here we have an amazing conversion. In fact, more than one was saved that particular night. Paul, he was in Philippi at that time, and he had been in prison for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There occurred that night an earthquake, prison doors flung open, but amazingly, no prisoners decided to make a run for it. The fact that they didn't try to escape when they could have really spoke to the jailer. In fact, it resulted in his conversion, but not only his conversion, those of his entire family. That would have often happened back in that day because, of course, of the deep respect there was for the head of the home. Scripture says in Acts 16, verse 33, that at that hour of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Children as well. Another example of baptism is found in the same chapter of the book of Acts, just before the account of the Philippian jailer's family. Acts 16, 14 through 15, Paul is speaking here. He says this: on the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there on that occasion. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who is a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. Note the scripture says she was a worshiper of God. In other words, she was a very religious person. She had a heart for God, but that doesn't mean that she was a Christian. Her conversion occurred after she heard the message from the Apostle Paul. Some people wonder if a person can be a worshiper of God and not a believer. Yes, there are many in that category today. You can be a good-living person. You can be a church-goer, but not saved. You see, going to church doesn't save you from your sins. Being raised in a Christian home will not save you. Living a good life will never save you. You see, only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. He's the only one. Well, Paul shared that message of salvation with Lydia, and no sooner had that taken place than she followed in the waters of baptism as well. She did it that very same day. Another one more. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and verses 36 to 39. And here we have the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was saved through the teaching of Philip from the scriptures while riding in his chariot. And then what happened? I'm going to pick it up at verse 36. And as they traveled along the road, that is, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they came to Samaria. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Said the eunuch. He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Note something here. The Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water and came up out of the water. The very wording here suggests that he was baptized by immersion. But in case you may question that, I want you to notice something else that further substantiates the fact that it was by immersion. The Greek word that is used here to baptize means to immerse. At this point, I would like to pause and say this. I know that as I deliver this message this morning, I will be speaking to three different categories of people. There will be some present today who have never been baptized. In fact, you may never have attended a believer's baptismal service before. So you may be wondering why make such a big deal of it. This study this morning, I trust, will help you to see the importance of believer's baptism. There will be some present who have been baptized as babies. I trust this sermon will help you to see why at Main Street we baptize by immersion. It also will explain why we don't baptize infants. There will also be those who have been baptized by immersion. It's my prayer that this study will give you new insights into the beauty, into the simplicity, the significance of this demonstration participated in two God-ordained events that celebrate what God has done for us. One is communion, and the other is baptism. We had a communion service a couple of weeks ago, and we celebrated the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord. And then we were also at the end where we were reminded of his ultimate return someday as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning, though, our focus is on baptism. Why is baptism so special? Let me describe it this way. I think baptism is like a precious jewel. Set apart by itself, it's nice and appealing. But it has nothing within it to compel. But place baptism against the backdrop of our sin, and then turn on the light of the cross. And the jewel called baptism explodes. You see, baptism form reveals the beauty of the cross, and yet at the same time, the darkness of sin. As a stone has many facets, baptism has many sides to it. It reveals, first of all, the cleansing power of blood. You can read in Scripture that time and time again. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin. Number two, baptism also reveals the significance of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is a testimony to what God has done within that person's life, the change that has taken place within. Baptism reveals the fact that at conversion, there is the death of the old way of life and the birth of a new way of life. Not perfect. The person isn't perfect. They'll make mistakes along the way. But there's a progression in a certain direction. Christian baptism represents judgment and death. It is symbolic of leaving behind our old life. Water baptism represents being set free and being forgiven. Jesus, we are delivered from judgment and delivered from spiritual death. Coming out of the water represents the new life we have received in Jesus. In other words, that person has become part of God's family. They are now committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ. When they fail, they're going to deal with that matter before the Lord. So you see, just as a stone has no light within it, baptism has no inherent power. But just as the stone refracts the light into its many colors, so baptism reveals the many facets of God's wonderful and amazing grace. Therefore, once a person admits his sin, repents of his sin, and turns to Christ for salvation, a step then needs to be taken to proclaim to heaven and to earth that this person is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the baptismal service is just that. It's a public testimony. The person being baptized is proclaiming to you as a congregation in a very public manner that he, she has accepted Christ as their Savior. So important was this step that as far as I know, every single convert in the New Testament is baptized, with of course one exception. And you know who that exception is? It's a deep one. probably never went to church. Never gave an offering. Never was baptized. He said only one prayer. But that prayer was enough to Jesus to have his sins forgiven and to be able to go to heaven someday. You ask this question then. Does his story negate the importance of baptism? Not at all. Not at all. It simply puts the importance of baptism in proper perspective. That's what it does. You see, baptism is a response to the salvation that a person has received when they have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Being baptized, that person is not trying to earn his salvation. You can't do it. Please understand this. It is not the act of baptism that saves you. The act of baptism will not save you. But it is the act of baptism that symbolizes how that person was saved. Does the Bible anywhere command that a person be baptized? Question to ask, and an important one. And yes, the Bible clearly states. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, notice Jesus' instruction to his disciples before he left and went on to heaven. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And what did he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a command that has been given by our Lord. So if you're a Christian, you understand that the Bible clearly teaches that after conversion, a person should follow in the waters of baptism, and you don't endeavor to be baptized when that opportunity comes your way, you're actually disobeying God. If there is no opportunity to be baptized, though, you're not sinning. If you have some medical condition, some people do have this, that prevents them from being baptized, that too is a different story. That person falls into the same category as the thief on the cross, for whom it was impossible for him to be baptized. Now some hold back because they know they must give a public testimony in front of everyone like Octavia, Adam, Lauren, Mika, and Deanna will do in just a few moments. Friends, that is an amazing thing to do. As I mentioned before, it was the hardest thing, the very hardest thing for me to do. You see, most people are somewhat afraid to stand and speak in public, especially if it's the first time. But friends, you can't imagine the blessing that your testimony will be to other people. And God will give you the strength to do it if you're willing to take that step of obedience. Oh, we realize from Scripture that baptism is a command given by our Lord, but what about the matter of how baptism is to be done? What's the meaning of that? Listen to what Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says. Baptism is to be done in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's the method that I will be using today for each of the candidates that will be baptized in this baptism. What further direction does Scripture give about baptism? Well, some people will say, well, I have been sprinkled with water, or I have been poured. But I want to make it clear, that is not the biblical method. Sometimes it becomes essential because of physical conditions. Maybe that's the only method you can use, but that's not the biblical method. The Bible teaches baptism by immersion. Other people think that because they were baptized as a baby, they don't need to be baptized after conversion. Actually, the Bible nowhere teaches teaches that an infant should be baptized. The Bible does refer to mothers bringing their children to Jesus, and he blessed them. Following Jesus' example of blessing children, it's fitting to dedicate young children to the Lord. We're going to have one of those this afternoon, a little later on, 3 o'clock. But I want to be clear. When parents dedicate their child to the Lord, such a step doesn't save that child from his or her sins. That's not true. Really, what those parents are doing is promising, or they are making a vow before God, that they will bring up their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That they will do everything possible to teach them the Christian faith. So that when that child is old enough to understand, make a decision themselves. When they reach the age, in other words, of accountability, that person will be more apt to respond in the right way by giving his or her life to Christ. Only then is that person in a position to be baptized. Almost every time baptism is mentioned in Scripture, it is preceded by some command for belief. Some command for belief. A good example is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. It says this, "Change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." You see, we're never told to be baptized and then believe. We're never told to do that. But to come to belief first, to trusting faith in the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, and then display that decision by associating yourselves publicly with Christ in baptism. You may be asking, but what if I was baptized as an infant? What should I do? First, you should be grateful that you had parents who cared enough about you to set you apart for God. Because of their devotion, you have an opportunity to complete their prayer by willingly submit to believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is not a sign of disrespect for what your parents did. In fact, it can be seen as a fulfillment of their prayers. Be thankful for the heritage of concerned parents. Don't be negligent of your responsibility as a born-again Christian to make your personal pledge toward God in baptism. So in summary, why is the method of total immersion so important? First of all, you need to understand that baptism is really symbolic of what Christ has done for that individual who is being baptized. Remember, baptism doesn't wash away our sins. Nor does it save us. Only Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross can do that for us. It's the only way to salvation. Baptism is taking the next step in obedience to what Jesus has asked us to do. And then another reason is that baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. Baptism by immersion, you see, is the only way that clearly depicts what happens when you actually become a Christian. This morning when Adam, Katie, Lauren, Mika, and Deanna went down under the water, it will symbolize what has happened to their sins when they accepted Christ as their Savior sometime in the past. At conversion, their sins were washed away by Christ's blood on the cross. Their sins were not partially dealt with at Calvary, as sprinkling or pouring would convey. When they go down and are immersed completely under the water, It symbolizes what happened the day they accepted Christ as their Savior. They were totally cleansed. Not partially. Totally cleansed. Totally cleansed of all of their sin. Not partially. See, sometimes the devil will come along after you become a Christian and they'll bring up the past. Listen. When God forgives, He forgives. When God cleanses, He cleanses. They were totally forgiven when they did that. It symbolizes that they have a new desire to walk in obedience to the way God in heaven is believed. I think we can say it's all go along the way, but the heart here is that we want to walk with God. There will be time when we'll stop work, when we need to come and ask the Lord to forgive them. He's there ready to forgive. Some of the things they used to do, they no longer will want to do. As I draw this message to a close, I need to ask this question. Are you a Christian? In other words, have you admitted that you're a sinner? Do you repent of your sin? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? If you have, I encourage you very strongly to do it. I love to talk. And if you are a Christian, you need to ask the second question, have you been baptized? If not, why not? What's holding you back? If you have any further questions after the service, I again would be glad to talk to you about it as well. Now, you're going to have the candidates come one at a time to the platform to share their testimonies in the order they appear in your bulletin. Order will be, first of all, will be Octavia. She'll come and she'll share her testimony. She won't sit down in that chair over there. And then the next one will be Deanna. She will come and share her testimony and sit up here on the platform. And then Lauren will follow. And then Mika. And finally, the last one. After all five have done that, they will be baptized in the same order that they spoke. As each candidate enters into the waters of baptism, I'll let you know, a verse of scripture, a verse of their favorite hymn or chorus will be sung, followed by a special prayer offered on behalf of the candidates by an individual who previously was chosen to do that. Then the candidates will be baptized, and as each one comes up out of the water, second verse of the hymn, their favorite hymn or chorus, will be sung. And after all candidates have been baptized, there will be a concluding hymn, and then the benediction, and there will be followed a